Good evening. Understood.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening. Come here,
sir. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Gedula Chimin Sam. Alephet Gimel Yutat Sadi. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sadvenu Taharenu No Ra Ufreshayan Sintet Nun. Nagibor Dorshe Hudfa Givavat Shamrein Nun Gimodalit Yutkav Shin Barhem Tacharen Rachame Sidkacha Tami Gamrein Betet Reish Saditav Gimel Hasin Kadosh Birov Tucha Nae Adata Het Kufet Tet Nunayan Yachid Geer Lamcha Pene Zofre Kidu Shata Yud Gimalamad Hey Zion Kuf. The letters of the month of Sivan, the Resh that created the planet Kohav, the planet Mercury, and the Zion that created the constellation Teumim, the twins, the astrological sign of Gemini. Together, the Resh and the Zion spells the Hebrew word Raz, which means secret. The gematria of the word secret, or Raz, is 207, the same gematria as the word Or, for light. And En Sof also has a gematria of 207. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Kalumo Shinkufav Tzadiyutav. We have brought the energy of creation into our space, and now we will separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation. We will utilize the 13 attributes of mercy for this purpose. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'Chanun, Erech Apayim, V'Rav Chesed V'Emet, Notze Chesed L'Alafim, Notze Avon Wafesha, V'Chata'a V'Nakei. We're now going to connect to the year of the goat, the energy of 5777. There are two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we will study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. And we will start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bit Hilu Urchimu Hilu Udhilu Urchimu Leachta L'shem Yud He Bavav He Viehuda Shalim B'shem Chol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Konene Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Konenehu Tzot Saduni Katzipor Oyevai Chinam. When we take the first letter of these five words, we're able to parse them into three Hebrew words. Tzatz ki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these five Hebrew words, we're able to permute them into dir yam, two Hebrew words that translate as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to the year of the goat has the name of the year concealed within it, Tav Shin Ayin Zion, and those letters are separated by seven letters each. The verse is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Kim ba Adonai Yohewahe Eloheichem Tadibaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. Now we will be connecting to the year 5776, known as the year of the pause. There are also two verses that connect to this energy. The first one that we will study is 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 34. Parata kohanim ha'yulimat v'lo yachlu lehashit et kol ha'olot v'yachaskum achechem ha'levim ad kelot hamlacha v'ad yitkadshu ha'kohanim ki ha'levim yishre levav Lehit Kadesh Me HaKohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to permute that into eight names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe La La He Wa 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 Yo La Yo Ala Me He 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 Aka The second verse that connects to this energy of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26. Hu ba Adonai Yohewahe Ade ad kibia Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Tzur olamim. The year 5775 is the year where death is swallowed up forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy. The first is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo ishem imeni lo tarpeni yad bili ruki. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru Uzu Kol Hamachavoya Asher Yitchabe Sham Weshavtem Eilai El Nahum Wichalati Yitchem Wichayim Yeshno Varetz Vipasti Oto Bekol Alfei Yehuda. And the third verse also comes from Job, and that's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved Roav yomru ayo. And the year 5774, with the energy of peace in the Middle East, there is only one verse that connects to this. And that's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisamti makom leami li Yisrael, unzati v'shakan, Tafta below your gas, ode below Yosifu. Bene ablala anoto, ta asher barishona. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar that connects to certainty. It's Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Beka Matar Ane Nandekucha Beribu Koma Diabed Leila Witata Kolaihu Yishot Yovada Bigshot Belaid lach mila bialma, divaye barnash, vidach yaleya, mine yaulan haka, beya kilana, dehahulhu ovada, ikshot inun, wikola itzirich, bialma. Now we're going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. Tzaddikim who left this evening of Rosh Chodesh Sivan, Mayor, Rabbi Meir Halevi Horowitz, Rabbi Avraham Menachem Halevi Steinberg, Rabbi Eliezer David Greenwald, Rabbi Mordechai Shapiro of Kaminka Koritz, Rabbi Alexander Sender Licht, Linsner, Rabbi Aharon Yeshiel Lefer, and Rabbi Mordechai Don Waldman. And the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach we say in a whisper. Today's class is Advanced Reincarnation. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, row 11, second column, the left. When that page opens up, scroll down to class 8D, and that will open up where we will start reading. At Chapter 7, Section 1, titled The Three Types of Souls. The first type. The Rav will explain in this section that there are three different types of soul. We have already explained that there are some souls that were not part of Adam's soul when it was first created. These are truly completely new souls, whereas the souls that were already included in Adam are called old souls, and by comparison, of which there are two types. This is a continuation of the last chapter. The new souls are those that are being born anew from the unification of face to face. Since they are new, they were never included in the soul of Adam. The old souls that were included in the soul of body of Adam were born from the unification of back to back. But of these, the Rav is now adding that there are two types. Thus, there are three types, the first being those which were not included in Adam, and which are considered to be completely new souls. And the second type of soul is a result of Adam's sin, after which his limbs fell off, and he was reduced until he was no higher than 100 cubits. This is the secret of the verse, "And you laid your hand upon me." Just as it happened to his body, so too did it happen to his soul. This is in the Talmud in the section of Chagiga. As a result of Adam's sin, God laid his hand upon him and diminished his stature. Before the sin, he spanned five spiritual worlds, whereas after the sin, he only spanned one. Prior to Adam's sin, he was said to have been 500 cubits high. If taken literally, then he would have been between 750 and 1,000 feet high. In Kabbalah, it means that before the sin, he spanned five spiritual worlds, whereas after the sin, he only spanned one. We have already seen that the sparks that constituted the spiritual body of Adam fell into the klipot. This is what it means that his limbs fell off and corresponds to the diminution of his physical stature as a result of the sin. However, some of the sparks remained part of him, meaning they were included within him. The sparks of his soul that remained within him after the sin were necessary for Adam himself. After the sin, he fathered Cain and Abel. And as the sages and the Zohar say, it was from these sparks that they came. These constitute the second type of soul. Or I should say, the second type of old souls. And I'm reminding you that the term old soul and new soul is a very different definition, as we're discovering in this section, than the term old soul and new soul that is used in the New Age terminology. In other words, some sparks did not fall, but remained within Adam for the sake of his own existence. And most of these were transmitted to his children, Cain and Abel. These constitute the second level of souls that will be discussed in this chapter. The third level is those sparks of his souls that left him at the time of the sin, and which return to the depths of the klipot. Note that the Rav writes explicitly that they return to the depths of the klipot. The sages alluded to them by calling them limbs that fell off. It was from this third level that the soul of Seth, the third son of Adam, was taken. My commentary. I found this section confusing when I first read it. Here is my understanding from other readings and questions that I have asked my teachers. When the vessels broke, as taught by the Arizal, the sparks of light fell into different levels of the klipot. Some of these sparks became the souls of inanimate objects in the physical world. Some became the souls of plants in the physical world, while some became the souls of animals in the physical world, and the higher souls became souls of human beings in the physical world. How it was determined which became what was not truly made clear other than the greater the desire to receive, the deeper into the klipot they fell, and ultimately this is the level of animals in our world. Thus, when Adam fell, the animals and the plants and the inanimate levels also fell. Adam and Chava existed with a body and soul sparks in a spiritual level prior to existing in the physical world. This spiritual level is called the Garden of Eden. This spiritual level was also populated by the race of angels called Watchers, or Tali, or dragons. The spiritual entities called Satan and El-El took control of some of these watcher angels and enticed Eve and Adam to metaphorically eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Thus, they were expelled from the Garden of Eden and were reduced in size, both spiritually and physically. Thus, expelling from the garden is the idea of becoming physical. At the level of the Garden of Eden, they were able to move between all five worlds, while after being expelled, they were limited to the seven levels of Earth, the seven levels of Hell, and all of these exist physically in various dimensions. Now, all potential souls and soul sparks existed in Adam and Chava in the Garden of Eden. This terminology of losing their limbs is describing the idea that they lived in the physical world striving to do teshuvah. Yet due to the influence of the Satan and El-El, they continued to fall. Some of the souls that were originally part of the left and right arms of Adam and Chava actually left Adam and Chava and reincarnated as Cain and Abel. When they did the murder sin, more sparks left all three of them. Thus, the three were considered root souls of humanity. Now, what the Arizal is explaining in this section is there are three levels of souls that have to do with the two sins. One set of sparks participated in both sins. One set of sparks only participated in the sin of Adam and Chava. And a third set of souls left Adam and Chava to grow through Dormita and Nestia at the time of the sin. The third group is called the new souls. There are other new souls that come from the other two levels as well, as once the soul goes through this Dormita and Nessia, they are considered cleansed of something and are called new. That something may be any one of the three aspects of the three levels of sins. I hope this clarifies things a bit. The word new and the different names that we call these souls are referring to different levels, even within one of these names. And that leads to confusion. That is the end of section 1, chapter 7. Are there any questions?
Hanok, what is considered the old souls when they were back to back? Where did those sparks come from? Hello?
I'm here. I'm thinking how to answer the question.
Okay.
There is a quantum consciousness, a theory. There is a teaching by the Ari that says there was a world called Nikudim, dots. And that world grew into Akudim, the way to understand Akudim is that the dots have expanded and grown to their ultimate capacity. At this time, those Sephiroth within those the world of Akudim, could not communicate with each other. So the nature of the Sephirot is to share or to receive, but it's always relative. So even a receiving Sephirah will share with the Sephirah below it. In the word of Akudim, the dots had grown into lines. And the line of the Sephirot was there was no communication. So the Keter shared with Chachma everything that the Keter received. And the Chachma shared with Bina everything that the Chachma received. And Bina shared everything that she received with Chesed, and so forth down the line. But what happened is the vessels in the seven lower Sephirot, Chesed through Malchut, could not handle the light that was being shared with them, and they broke. So the sparks of light fell into the Klipot. Now, essentially, the Klipot are created entities, vessels, that are so impure that they cannot handle the light. They can only surround the light. And that's why the Klipot are called shells, Klipa. So all of the sparks of light in the seven lower Sephirot of the world of Akudim fell into the Klipot. And then slowly, over eons of time, they elevated up until they became inanimate in the world of in the physical world. They became plants in the physical world. They became animals in the physical world, and ultimately what is referred to as speaking or human beings in the physical world. That is what where the soul of Adam and Chava came from, as they became the most pure of those sparks that fell into the Klipot. And when they were created, meaning when they were back-to-back and not yet separated, which means Adam went to sleep and Chava was separated, Nesia. Before that happened, they could move through all five worlds. But when they were enticed by the negative system, by the Klipot, and they lowered themselves so they could only be in one world, which was the lower Garden of Eden, they were thrown out of that lower Garden of Eden. They were limited to the physical world, at the seven levels of the physical world, and the seven levels of hell. And they had the two children, Cain and Abel. Now the souls of Cain and Abel were coming from sparks of souls that fell out of Adam. When Cain kills Abel, there's a second lowering. The sparks of Adam, Cain, and Abel fall into three categories. One is souls that left Adam before the sin, and they're referred to as new souls. They fell back into the Klipot. Then there were souls that participated in the sin of Adam, but not the sin of Cain and Abel. They are called new souls. they are called old souls, are category one. And then there were souls that were in Adam, Cain, and Abel that participated in both sins. And they're called old souls, category two. After 130 years, Adam and Chava reunite, they become intimate, and Seth is born. And Seth is coming, is populated with souls that are the new souls that had gone back into the Klipot and now had elevated back out again. I hope that's clear.
So, when Adam and Eve were back-to-back, they could travel to the different worlds. Was that the concealed light from at that? It wasn't concealed at that time, Hashem's light. It was pure light. Is that correct?
That is correct. There was no need to conceal it.
Okay, and then when they fell into the Klipot, then that's when Hashem's light became concealed.
Correct.
Okay. So you're saying Abel and...
Go ahead.
So Abel and Cain were birthed in the...
physical world.
When they fell into the Klipot, they were born in that physical world, which is not our physical world, but
they were born in our physical world.
Okay, I thought they were born in the Garden of Eden.
Adam was originally created in the upper Garden of Eden.
Okay.
Then when they ate, they were lowered to the lower Garden of Eden. And then when Adam continued to hide from Hashem and to lie to Hashem and not accept his responsibility, they were cursed to be thrown out of the lower Garden of Eden. And that's when Cain and Abel were born.
Okay.
That's according to this understanding from the Ari. There are different theories that Cain and Abel were born in the Garden of Eden as well. There are different understandings from different sages. But most of the world accepts the writings of the Ari as being appropriate and paramount.
So they were absolutely out of the level of the spiritual world in the Garden of Eden. They were actually in the physical world that we share as a physical world.
But you also have to realize that our physical world consists of seven levels. So it gets confusing.
Okay.
But
yeah, I'm a little confused.
Our physical world consists of seven levels of earth, and it consists of seven levels of hells. And there are seven levels of heavens. The lowest of those seven levels of heavens is called the lower Garden of Eden.
Okay.
I recommend you kind of try and listen to the recording and diagram the seven heavens, the seven earths, and the seven hells. And elsewhere in the Zohar, you'll find all of those names for all the different levels.
Is that in the website as well, or just in the
no,
recordings
no.
in the web?
I've never really. We haven't gotten to that part of it in the. Well, let me rephrase that. Part of it is in the classes on the Mini Zohar. In the Bereishit Bet, in the earlier sections around section 30s and so, it's describing the levels of heavens. Then in the parasha of Pikudei, there's sections that I've never discussed in a class. We haven't gotten there yet. That discuss the seven levels of hells. And then there's the seven earths are discussed in other writings that I haven't actually revealed yet, that there was a new book that just came out that I was about to put on the website sometime in the next year if I have time.
Hanok, I think what she's referring to, because I was going to ask the question as well, was not very long ago, the Zohar told us that Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel before they came to the physical world. And
correct.
Seth was the first born after. So I think after they came to the physical world. So I think that was, which was 130 years later. I think maybe
correct.
That's where the confusion is coming.
Well, the confusion is that you're both looking for a fixed structure, a fixed time sequence. You're
okay.
You're saying that there can't be two different ones that are the same. There's 70 ways to understand the Torah, and you're both looking at it and saying, I have to understand this in one way or another. It's only one way to understand it, and it's not true. The Zohar is saying it in that it's just one way. The Ari is saying, based as a commentary on the Zohar, that yes, it's one way, but there's also another way to perceive it.
So would it be right, just correct, to say, well, according to the Zohar, you know, when we look back and see what were the verses, that this is what's said. That according to the Ari,
around the 30 sections, they definitely were there. I remember saying it myself
mm-hmm.
and reading it and agreeing with you all and discussing it. But here it's being discussed differently.
Okay, but what I'm trying to ask is if you were carrying on a conversation with someone, would it be correct to say, well, according to the Zohar, this is what happened. According to the Ari, there was another version. Because I'm always,
correct.
I find that I'm constantly saying that to students. That, well, according to this source, this is what was said. And according to this source, you have another answer. Not necessarily about this subject, but other subjects. I find more and more that's what's coming forth.
That is correct.
Okay.
So it's as clear as mud now, right?
Right. Well, maybe
right.
maybe Malcolm can explain it to me again.
But, you know, here in Louisiana, our mud is pretty dark.
Well, we just keep moving on.
Gumbo mud here.
Should I I go on to the next section, or should we stay with this one?
Maybe the next section will clear some things up for me.
Well, let's see. The next section is chapter 7, section 2. It's titled New Souls. The first level is considered to be a completely new soul. It is about such a soul that has descended into this world, born into a body that the sages alluded to when they said, "Come and see, when a person is born, they give him a nephesh, etc., and if he merits more, etc." This is a statement appearing at the beginning of Saba of Mishpatim. The Rav has quoted it several times, and we already learned about it in Chapter 1, Section 2. Since it is a first lifetime, he can achieve everything. It appears to be a statement that applies to all first incarnations, but now it apparently applies only to first incarnations of completely new souls, those that were not originally part of Adam's soul before the sin. My commentary. This comment above will be confusing to you in that it refers to some aspects understood differently than my discussion above in section 1. Let us say that a nephesh that incarnates as initially having gone through Dormita and Nesia is called a new soul, even if it has had previous incarnations prior to the Dormita process. In other words, the souls split into male and female as they come into the physical world. If this is the second time that they are splitting in this process, they are not called a new soul. If it is the first time in this form of splitting into male and female, they are called a new soul and can achieve a full and complete tikkun in this incarnation, potentially. Since it is the first lifetime, he is able to achieve the nefesh of Asiya until the neshama of the neshama of Atzilut, level after level, as it says, if he merits more, etc. The neshama of the neshama is another nomenclature for the fourth general level of Chaya. Since it is a first lifetime, he can achieve everything. And this he can do without much effort. We have already explained this first level before. However, if during that time he sins and causes a blemish and dies, necessitating a return to this world, then he is called an old Gilgul. My commentary. His cosmic soulmate will be born near him. In earlier generations, they were twin sisters. In later generations, that he would still call earlier, the 12 sons of Jacob's generation, and prior, they would be born into the same family. This is where the Midrash says that the sons of Jacob married their soulmates that were twin sisters of their brothers. It is also the idea of arranged marriages that are still prevalent in some of the societies and parts of societies today. The arranged marriage of cousins is one of those traditions that allow for the easy meeting of soulmates, which is what is called without much effort above. Before going on to discuss the next level, the Rav comes back to the subject of new souls to make one more point, which he also taught previously in the beginning of chapter 1. As we have already explained beforehand, the nefesh comes to him at birth, but the ruach cannot come to him until he is 13 years old and one day. The neshama cannot come until he is 20 years or more. In this way he advances and gains according to his deeds, until he achieves the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama of Atzilut, according to the level of his years. In effect, there are two requirements conditioning the advance of soul from level to level. One is age, chronological age, and the second is the merit of his deeds. My commentary. Age represents mercy or chesed, the opportunity to correct any mistakes through teshuvah. The merit of the deeds is gevurah. These two sefirot are always connected. They're just not as connected as strongly as Chachma and Bina, which are always in zivug, sexual intercourse and unity. Chesed and gevurah are usually connected and are also especially in a new soul. I bring you this information to start teaching you to think like a student of Kabbalah. Why would you just accept the statement that starts in effect? You need to begin to question, not just accept, as you were taught to do in your classes and by your previous teachers in other subjects. That's the end of section two. Are there any questions? Was it helpful in understanding what you didn't understand in section one?
For me, it kind of cleared up the new souls, because that's from the sparks before the sin, which I relate to as dots and dashes, that can come down because they weren't part of the sin. So they are new souls. They're pure souls, right? Pure soul until, if they continue to advance, I say advance, I don't know if that's a correct word, in their tikkun, then it's quite easy for them to reach their tikkun. But if they sin, they actually fall back like Adam and Eve did. They fell into a klipot, which they have to come back and correct, which is a little bit more actions on their part to correct their tikkun.
Correct. While we still have about 10 minutes left in the class, we will not finish the section three in those 10 minutes. So we're going to stop the class here, and we'll pick it up next week. Next week on Thursday we'll have our class.
I have one more question before we leave. The dots and dashes, they couldn't communicate. So I guess what brought the letters in is because the dashes and the dots could not advance any further. So is that why, my thought is that why the letters came into play, so that they could be for a speaking human race?
I'm of the opinion, but I'm not sure, that the letters were created in the endless world. Because it says, in the Zohar, it says that the letters were, God played with the letters for 2,000 years before the creation.
So were the dots and dashes also created in the endless world, or were they after the... letters?
One of the ways to understand the idea of 2,000 years is 1,000 years in the Nikudim, the world of Nikudim, the world of dots, and the world of Akudim, the lines. And the difference between the dots and the lines is the dots is smallness and the lines are expanded and grown and adults. So there's the endless world, and then there's a process coming down to the physical world. And in that process, there the Sephirot are in potential in the endless world, and they become into the they become actualized in the world of Nikudim as dots, and then they become expanded into lines in the world of Akudim. And the letters are part of those 2,000 years, the two worlds where God is making changes to the letters and expanding upon them and deciding what he's going to call them and all of these kinds of things. But that's just my opinion. I haven't read that anywhere.
Okay. So he could have used both worlds to play with the letters, basically.
Yes.
Because in the alphabet, Hebrew alphabets that we study is the, I think it's called the block letters, and it's a lot of dots and lines, you know, so.
Right. Yeah, no, okay. And it's very much related, correct. But you look at the letters as letters, like A, B, C, D, and the Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. But in reality, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet are power stations. They're energy sources. There's a different energy source to an Aleph than there is to a Bet. And a different energy source to the Gimel. And in the endless world, those letters and those power stations were in potential because everything was unified. But as God decided to create man, he needed that process to go through. And so the purpose of the world of Nikudim and the world of Akudim was to bring that those worlds down into physicality. I remind you that there's Rosh Chodesh event tonight at 7 o'clock West Coast time, which is 9 Central time and 10 Eastern time. So I hope to see you then.
Yes, sir.
And we will count the Omer as well at 8:30 Western time.
So and you said it's 7? 7 tonight?
Yes,
is class? Okay, all right.
7 tonight.
I'm sorry?
When will you have the all-night study for Shavuot?
A week from this coming Tuesday.
Okay. And it will start at what time?
It will start, essentially, we'll start it at 8:30 to count the, excuse me, there's no Omer then. We'll start it at 10 p.m. West Coast time.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Shalom to all.
Shalom.